Now for something completely different. The corporeal manifestation of white noise. Here's Brian Wilson.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all sexes, and especially all you recent graduates of the new John Fetterman School of Fashion, Culture, and Expression, welcome once again to the satirically resplendent episode of The Two and Only, our weekly slide down the razor blade of life, liberty, and libations from our skewed perspective overlooking the logic-free zone, our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the city that began as a swamp and turned into a sewer. Taking a well-deserved break from the AFTRA-SAG writer's strike, I am your uncompensated host, Brian Wilson. Please set aside your anatomically correct Lauren Boebert Beetlejuice calendar for a few excruciating minutes as we welcome my unindicted co-conspirator, author, opinion fiend for the New York Post and other select publications, and this year's winner of the Dumbledore Doppelganger contest at the annual Harry Potter convention, James Bovard.
Brian, thanks for that lead-in. The John Fetterman School of Fashion.
Yeah, well, I tell you. The first graduating class came out just the other day. It's really terrific. I'm a little worried. I saw somebody post the question now that since it was in effect, does that mean Nancy Pelosi can come to the House meetings with a thong bikini? I said, I sent him a gallon of eye bleach to take care of that mental picture.
But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty grim. I mean, it did make me smile because when I was at, I was in the press box at the Supreme Court in 1995 to hear a case on no-knock raids, and I laughed at the wrong time. I didn't laugh at the Chief Justice's joke. I laughed at a defense attorney joke. So I was thrown out of the press box and ejected, and the pretext that they gave was I was not wearing a coat and tie. I mean, I was wearing a nice business shirt, but, you know, you're supposed to be wearing a coat and tie. And the other journalists there said they had never heard of that dress code being enforced until I was there. So I was honored to be a pathbreaker.
Oh, there you go. There you go. It's always good to be first at something, even if it's embarrassing or whatever for the moment. I think that's
embarrass me. I mean, the Supreme Court can take a long walk and a short beer.
Well, hopefully you'll get your wish on that. I think that'd be an excellent exercise. I was expecting some action when those people were picketing the justices' houses after the Roe v. Wade debacle. But anyway, I see on Facebook you've been out rollicking and wrangling along the banks of the Potomac, sharpening your bodacious photography skills. That is pretty nice stuff.
Yeah, I was catching up some kinfolk out there by Antietam. I mean, didn't have time to go to the battlefield and pay my respects. It was good to get out of D.C. briefly. I need to do that more, and I'm supposed to have a positive spin here, but I've run out of gas already.
Well, I think the pictures speak for themselves. If you're up on Facebook and you're a friend of Mr. Bovard's, you can go by see some of the really great shots that he's got of the foliage up around the Potomac. You know, I was curious, since you spend a fair amount of time hiking around up there, I don't suppose you've ever stumbled across an old silver dollar like Washington tossed across the bank there back in the day.
Well, I've seen some rusty nails.
Yeah. Well, a dollar doesn't go as far as it did back then anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I don't think I've come across any silver dollars. I've seen some old coins. I'll just say, no, I'm afraid not.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I do some looking into it. First of all, it probably wasn't the Potomac where the story started. It was probably the Rappahannock up near Fredericksburg where his place was. And of course, there weren't any silver dollars available when Washington was a kid anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I know from our 30-plus year history, James, and your best-selling books, which, of course, I've read all of them, your faith and affection for government has waned a bit here recently. I was wondering if this new dress code for the Senate promulgated by that picture of ossified representation, Senator Chuckie Schumer, had any remedial effect on your convictions.
Well, I was trying to decide whether to get a double-breasted suit or to get another pair of sweatpants.
Mm.
And it's a real coin toss. I mean, you know, Senator Fetterman, hey, he's, you know, Senator Fetterman's a pathbreaker. You know, it's funny that people are paying attention to that as opposed to how Congress is wrecking the country. But, you know, I guess it's a simpler story for journalists to cover. And there are so many journalists whose handle on policy issues is
lacking.
Slim and none, and Slim just left town.
Yeah. Well, that's always been the case. You know, everybody wants to see the sensational. They want to see that that aerial shot of Boebert walking out of the Beetlejuice thing with her remarkable attire. And then, of course, Fetterman with his shorts and shirts and so on. It says a lot, I think, for the not really. It says a lot for both sides. It says a lot for the media because they can't cover anything more substantive. But then you don't want them to because they're dumber than a box of hair when it comes to relative questions and all the rest. And there's always the prurient interest of something like a Boebert exit from the theater to keep you tuned in. But on the other hand, Fetterman has proven you can still snatch some bargains from under the Goodwill discount table. I've seen that.
Yeah, well, he's a strange duck, and it's just it's a heck of a thing that he managed to win last November. But if you're running against a Turkish guy from New Jersey, it's a hard choice for voters.
Yeah, anyone with the name Oz associated with it, pretty well probably in Washington. But anyway, it's the way it is. Moving over to the Bill of Rights, in a body blow against the 4th and 16th Amendments, that paragon of journalistic integrity, NBC News reports that Hunter Biden has filed suit against the IRS for not protecting his privacy, accusing those IRS whistleblowers, Shapley and Ziegler, of illegally revealing his tax details when they raised their concerns at that meeting. And I think we'll talk about irony on steroids. Everyone watching a newscast over the past year has seen this guy in his skivvies, his naked butt, his cracked spoon, his evening entertainment in lurid colors on flat screen TVs. What privacy is left to be claimed?
Well, I guess he's thinks he's got a right to privacy for those big wire transfers coming in from abroad. It's funny because the IRS has had a very bad record for preserving the sanctity of tax returns. They've had some huge leaks in the last 3 or 4 years. But I guess that the president's son feels entitled to be to special treatment on this as well as on almost everything else.
Yeah, I like the way some of the outlets are reporting. They refer to him as the first son. I mean, geez, Christmas, you know, hand me my crying towel. It's unbelievable. But if I was reading the suit, it goes on to say the harm that he has suffered reputationally and emotionally from their wrongful conduct has been staggering, quote unquote. I agree he's been staggering, but not because of the whistleblower testimony, that's for sure. You know, it's interesting. You know, you pointed out earlier, and we discussed here several times, the inability of members of the media to be able to have intelligent and meaningful discussions about things of any depth whatsoever. It also seems apparent that they are Olympic gold medal winners in failing to see the irony of their own conduct and their own writing and their own newscasting. It's really kind of an eye popper.
Well, it's appalling, and especially with this Hunter Biden tax case, because the IRS started investigating in 2018. He had a huge amount of $1 million and amount of income he had not declared, he had not paid taxes on. The IRS was talking about canceling his passport and because of unpaid taxes. And it was like a deluge. But the Justice Department had foot drag, so there were not any charges prior to the 2020 election, which if Hunter Biden had been charged for major tax violations before November 2020, his father probably would have lost the election. So you had the Justice Department, IRS, basically helping determine who won the 2020 election by failing to enforce tax law, federal tax obligations against the son of one of the presidential candidates. So, and there were so many other ways that the feds tilted the election playing field, but that was so brazen. And some of the whistleblowers have talked about how they were not even allowed to talk to Hunter Biden, and that there were, you know, that there were heads up given when they were trying to get this information or do that search. It was a complete travesty. And it's good to see Attorney General Garland getting thumped for it today.
Yeah, really. Jim Jordan has threatened to grill him unmercifully, which should be really interesting. Yawn.
Yep. He's not having a good day.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be nice if they got something substantive there. That would be it would be both unique and interesting.
It's a hearing by Congress.
Like I said,
you are the idealist.
It'd be unique and interesting. That's that was well. There's more on that. You know, we just briefly touched on your piece back on the 13th. White House orders the media to keep sainting Joe Biden at that instruction notes that they sent out on how to keep their news content focused on the nasty Republicans' impeachment efforts and not on the Biden impeachment conduct. So I was curious, in the intervening week, have you noticed any uptick in the media's otherwise fair and balanced reporting indicating they're in compliance with the White House directive?
I've not been following the media closely. I've been chasing other rabbits. But I think that the that there's maybe a sea change or almost a sea change in how some of the liberal media is covering Joe Biden. It's almost like that they're getting ready for a transition or a change in leadership. There are places that are thumping him for his false statements and his general stumbling manner that would not have done that 6 months ago. Places like CNN, I mean, there was a CNN piece that just went through a litany of Biden false statements. I mean, I was reading it, and it went on and on. I said, geez, this is like the New York Post.
Well, maybe they've discovered where the ratings are. But, you know, I reread your piece on your website, jimbower.com, and posted a question: how is tampering with the First Amendment, specifically demanding the mainstream media give preferential treatment of a candidate by the candidate himself and his campaign committee, how is that not election interference in great big capital letters? Your response was a typical Bovard: politics is one damn paradox after another. But expanding on that with the time that we have, I'm curious, have you heard anybody bring that up? If Donald Trump can make a phone call saying, what about these votes, and that's called election interference, then when the White House sends out an instruction manual to the media telling them how to cover it, why is that not the same?
It's different because they're doing God's work.
Ah, I should have thought of that.
No, it's a good question. I don't know that I'd see it as election interference, but the same is true about not being election interference, some of the stuff that Donald Trump's been charged with. But, I mean, this is kind of typical that the White House would piss in. It's, I think the phrase is working the referee. it's a sports term, and that's kind of what they're doing. And this is a lot more heavy-handed than most presidents that I recall. I mean, it's it's surprising that they put this in writing, but it's that's a signal of their sense of entitlement. I don't know if it's going to work. Don't know.
Yeah, well, I guess we're all pretty much accustomed or at least suspicious of the back channels, but writing a letter like that is like the English Channel, the way they get that thing out there. It was really rather astounding. But I think that's true. I think that's reflective of the hubris. They've gotten such kid glove treatment by the media for the last 3 years. There's no reason to believe that all of a sudden they're going to start reporting facts and dates and places and errors and so on. And that speech at the UN, yeah, that was glorious. I've been looking forward to in retirement, there'll be the Joe Biden public speaking course available online. That'll be great. You know, you get a free bag of marbles with every enlistment. Moving along, the Washington Philharmonic. Now, you may have heard this, Jim. You're obviously a lot closer to Washington than I am, and most everybody. But the Washington Philharmonic has been rehearsing the never popular shutdown serenade all this week in anticipation of Republicans apparently having some sort of a last-minute epiphany or discovery of gut, spine, and testicles needed for holding the line in the regular rerun of the continuing resolution soap opera. So I was just wondering, Jim, if you would care to take a chance on the government shutdown lottery. I've been appointed to be a collection agent for that. The winner gets to help Kevin McCarthy find a new job. Would you like to get in on that at all?
Well, you know, on this shutdown stuff, I've already lost so much sleep over it.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't mean to tax your energy.
That's a good idea in the Kevin McCarthy lottery. It's kind of fun to watch all the different sparks flying on this, and it's interesting to see the president of Ukraine come here and rattle his rattle his tin cup and make his demands for far more money. And Biden's all set to sign off on that. And it's good to see people like Rand Paul and Senator Vance saying, hey, you know, what the hell is this? Where's the money gone? And what's the end game here? So it's good there's pushback. There's some very sharp people in the House also raising questions, but I don't know how much traction we'll get.
Yeah, I would have thought that with him in town, Zelensky in town, that they would have called him in for a chat fest. I'm sure he would have loved to have had the audience to be able to press the flesh and hang out and then pop a few embarrassing questions like, where'd the money go? Of course, I understood he blew out a bunch of high-ranking something or others there before he came to be able to give an impression that he was actually working to fight against any corruption in his administration. But that was the timing of that jet going down in Carolina. That was that suggested that he was taking it back home with him. So it was pretty interesting. But that thing with the impeachment inquiry, Comer was quoted as saying that, well, first of all, it's scheduled for the 28th. So that'll be next week. And he was quoted as saying, it's expected to focus on constitutional and legal questions that surround the allegation of Biden's involvement in his son Hunter's overseas business. So I said, well, wow, constitutional and legal questions. So Republicans are going to be venturing into unexplored territory.
Well, I think that they enjoy talking. So, you know, I mean, that's territory that they're very well known for. I mean, I hope it's something aside from a gab fest. I mean, it'd be nice if they had more hard evidence that they'd organized. I think that they just issued a subpoena for some Hunter Biden's material in the last day or two. It's kind of like, yeah, I guess you were busy earlier this year. But I'm happy to see them raising, trying to turbocharge their investigations into a Biden family and Biden misconduct. And shifting it to an impeachment inquiry should give them more leverage. I don't know. I mean, it would help if they could put more hard facts on the table.
Well, let me ask you about that, because there, you know, the even Democrats are saying, you know, okay, so maybe, but where are the facts? Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Where are the facts? You know, and you've got all of these quotes and so on, but they're only based on supposedly a summation of material that you've seen or nobody else has and so on. So where are the facts? Would a legitimate response to that be, we can't get the facts as quickly as you and we would like to because everybody's resisting, everybody's buckled down. What about those offshore bank accounts and so on? What does that require? Why hasn't that been produced? Do they have to have a subpoena for that? Are the offshore banks dragging their feet? Are the administrative individuals responsible for actually gathering that material? Are they out to lunch? In other words, is there a legitimate reason why the hard, cold facts have not been presented because, with the limited power that Congress has prior to the impeachment inquiry power that they were supposed to inherit, is that a reason why, a legitimate reason why they haven't had anything more to put on the table?
That's a good point. I mean, flip side is they have found a lot of evidence that pointed towards grave misconduct and abuse and corruption. And I think that there's probably a whole lot more evidence out there that they've not been able to pry open the doors. I mean, the Biden team is basically trying to delay everything, which is, you know, people are shocked by that, but this is what presidents do. Mm-hmm. Simply because they're able to delay stuff doesn't mean that they're innocent.
Well, it works in the NBA, so why not?
There you go.
Why not? Well, look, as our it looks like it's a fun week ahead, and we'll be able to it'll be a target-rich environment when we get another chance at this. But right now, as our ship pulls away from the shore and the sun sinks slowly in the west, let us remind you we're entering the entertainment season. Now, with the SAG-AFTRA writers on strike, along with the UAW and gas prices defying gravity, soon there's going to be nothing to watch and nowhere to go. So on that dismal note, how about taking up the lost art of reading? Reading, you may recall, is what Americans did for entertainment before the radio came along. Now, personally, I'm eternally grateful that it did, but that's a whole other subject. So take this opportunity to load up on Books by Bovard, the entire 10-volume set available at Amazon and other affordable outlets. You might even consider grabbing copies of my two tepid-selling works of art at Amazon and other cheapskate operations. Drop by Substack, and you'll get a free subscription to Brian Wilson Writes. Even with Bidenomics and inflation, you can't beat that price. But regardless of your shopping habits, be sure to join the attenuated Chug-a-Lug No-Stars team meeting regularly over at jimbovard.com and on alternating Februaries at brianwilson.net. Members of today's studio audience will receive free whatever it was Oprah gave away last. Thanks again for enduring the two and only, the human hemorrhoids of podcasting. For the Potomac stalker and scourge of the deep state, Jim Bovard, our environmentally hostile bus driver, Joe Ted. This is your personal hygiene consultant, Brian Wilson, reminding you, grow your own dope. Plant a politician. Pull the plug, Joe.